The recording. And speaking of Aseh Lecha Rav, this week was the Levaya of Chaim Kanievsky, the head of the Haredi community.
Oh, this is cool. That's cool.
And so
that's a proof of God. I call that a proof of God.
Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous, right?
So yeah.
When you saw the story there, I was at, well, Sarah is looking for a new sheitel for the wedding that we've got, so she wants to get something. So she goes to Devorah Soroka, who's from St. Louis, but she does sheitel. She moved to Chicago. And so I'm sitting in the living room while she's looking at wigs and schmoozing and all that. And on Rabbi Soroka's bookshelf is a little volume there that's like a 10-year-old book of Kanievsky's comments on the parsha. Like, wow. One of the students asked him some questions, and there it is. Okay, so I got to look this up, because that's clearly what I got to say for this year. So we're going to look at what he said. So this is parsha. Shmini talks about Aaron's sons who were killed when they bring in Esa Zara. And after that happens, you know, Moshe tells the Aaron, two sons, the Rebbe Rabbeinu Kohanim, they need to continue with that Buddha. This was the inauguration ceremony, the Mishkan, it's a tragedy, but we got to go on. So, Rebbe Moshe El Aaron, El Elazar, El Itamar, Banav, and Otarim. So Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar and Tamar, the two sons who are still alive, go take the Mincha offering, and you need to eat it. As the offering was offered, but you have all these parts of the avoda that are meant to be eaten by Kohan, you still need to eat it. Because it is holy of holies, you need to continue on with the ceremony. And you need to eat it in a holy place, because this is a rule for you and your descendants that the Kohanim eat from the Karbanot. This is what I was commanded. And it describes what they do with all the Karbanot. And then afterwards, Moshe goes that Sira Chatat, and for the goat that was offered as a Chatat offering, and this particular Chatat is talking about the Chatat of Rosh Chodesh, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Rosh Darash Moshe. Moshe looked into it, and it was burnt. It wasn't eaten. Like Sof Alazavli Tamara Bnei Aaron and Sarim Lemar. And Moshe got furious with Elazari Tamar because this carbon was burned and was not eaten. Said Madua lo achaltem et hachatat b'makom hakodesh. Why didn't you eat the chatat like you're supposed to and then in the holy place? Ki kodesh kodeshim hi, because it's a kodesh kodeshim, right? The chaleb is offered in the carbon. The Kohanim eat, and the people are mitzvaper, are atoned for. That's part of what you got to do. You can't just burn it. And it was given to you to bear the sin of the community, to atone for them with Hashem before God. That's what a chatat is. We've talked about why. Right? The blood was not brought into the Kodesh Kodeshim, which would have made it invalid. It's still fine. You should have eaten it in the Mishkan the way I commanded it. Right? This is Moshe getting angry at Aaron's son. But about Aaron and Moshe. So Aaron tells Moshe, Bill. And Hayom Hikribu et Chatata. Look, today we offered the Chatat. It was brought as a carbon, that Olatan, and we brought the Olot with Hashem. But Tikrib any Otika Ela. And this event happened to me, right? My two sons have died.
Oh.
Right, as you say, Bachalbi Chatat Hayom. And if I had eaten the Chatat, Aram says, Haytab ben Hashem, would it have been pleasing to God? Basically, the understanding is that Aaron's saying, I'm an Onan. I shouldn't be doing this. That's not the right thing to do. Onan should not be eaten in carbon. That's why it was burned, because it could not be eaten today. By Shema Moshe, Moshe heard what Aaron said. By Tabe Nav, and he was happy with it.
Wow, this is really something.
You never heard that. Yeah, this isn't like Shlishi. Pay attention.
No, I never heard this.
This is Moshe gets furious at, well, he doesn't get mad at Aaron. He's mad at the son. Why didn't you eat it? And Aaron says, look, here's what happened. This is clearly Haytav and Hashem, but if I'd done anything, if I'd eaten it, Hashem would not have been happy with it. Right? By Shema Hashem, Moshe listens and he agrees. Aaron, you're right.
Wow.
Shouldn't have gotten mad. Okay. One of the examples where Moshe gets angry and he forgets the halach or he's wrong. Okay. So, Rav, can you actually comment on this little piece here? Is Aaron Savar, She'ein Bezer Shum Sheila. Aaron figured there was no question what we're supposed to do. L'chein lo havei kimora b'fnei rabo. Okay, and we just talked about having a rab. Part of, okay, there are no coincidences because nothing is a coincidence. So the idea of having a rab is that part of that is lo, you should not be mora b'fnei rabo. You should not be teaching halacha in front of the rab. You should have some respect and defer to one's rab for teaching halacha, but this he said, even Aaron said, okay, I made that decision. This was not a problem with that. The Gam Divrei Orach Chaim, Sabrim, and what the Orach Chaim says on this makes sense. That's a very brief sentence, and that doesn't make any sense at all. We need to unpack that.
Okay.
What is he talking about? Okay. What is he saying about Aaron and what happened here?
Because also, what does the Orach Chaim say?
We'll quote that. Okay, we got that. Okay. That's here in source 5. Okay, we'll have to look at that as well, but that's going to be basically the question. That Chazal said the conversation between Moshe and Aaron was a halakhic one, right? That the sacrifice is supposed to be eaten even by aninut. On aninut. Their own anim, the burial hasn't happened, but still, so this is Gemara in Yuma, Tanra Banan, Hichein Tuviti, this is what I was commanded, Moshe tells Aaron, aninut yochul, you need to eat it in aninut. Aninut, even though you're onen, because in general, an onen cannot eat kodshim.
Oh.
As the Rashi summarizes it. Okay. That an onen is patur from the mitzvot, and it says, kodshim asurin la onen. An onen, who's a kohen, cannot eat from a korban, mikavachom. It's a kavachom maser. Because the halacha by maser, it says explicitly, that master is the kal, the lower level of kedusha. And keep going, master. It says this in Parsha Kitavo that when you're talking about how I did everything right with my master, lo achalti b'oni mimenu. I didn't eat my master when I was an onen. Okay, your master, your netzer ravai, all these other gifts of the kohen, all these other kodshim things, I should not eat while I'm an onen. We have a separation between death and kedusha. The whole story into itself. Okay, so master can't be eaten by an onen. So kal vachomer, an actual korban, cannot be eaten by an onen. That's a general rule. This was an exception. Moshe says, "Hu amar lahen." So Moshe tells him, "Lechol hamincha." All right, who's kaklo mar? And he needs to say, "The kichet tevid," because I was commanded that by Nosoklo. That despite the fact that in general you're right, there's a kal vachomer, don't eat. For this is the Chanukah abides to the Mishkan. This overrides that. You need to do everything here for these karbanot.
This one time.
One time. There's a Harasha Moshe tells
us. Okay.
So that the question about this particular chatat, though, that Aaron felt that the Tzira chatat, which is for the Rosh Chodesh, that he said, well, this is not part of the Chanukah Habayit ceremony. This is a regular, ordinary karban that we bring. Well, Rosh Chodesh Nisan would bring this and the Tamid and all the other things. And so Aro's arguing that it was not one that should be eaten by Inut, that just should not be. So in a normal situation, I have a karban for Rosh Chodesh. I'm supposed to eat it, but for any ka'ele, I am now an onen. This now is a possible carbon. There's no one can eat it. It needs to be burnt, like any other valid sacrifice. So which is Moshe hears that and he agrees. Okay, you know you're right. I was wrong. I shouldn't have gotten mad at you guys. Question then is, why didn't Aaron ask Moshe what to do? Aaron decided for himself. He didn't go to his Rebbe and ask, what should I do with this halacha? Like I said, there are no coincidences.
Yeah, really. This is wild.
Okay. So this is the Orach Chaim that we
mentioned. There's another question of why Moshe got it wrong.
So that goes to the question of by itself of Moshe getting angry, okay? That we have other examples. Whenever Moshe gets angry, he immediately makes a mistake in all. Okay, you have a couple examples of that which worth their own shiur. classic example would be hitting the rock at the end in Parsha Chukat.
Okay. So it's interesting. Why didn't he ask Moshe? And in fact, he was right. Aaron was right.
Right. So Moshe conceded after Aaron pointed this out. Moshe conceded that you were right.
But
right?
It was an interesting question, and he should have asked Moshe what to do. Okay.
So here's the Orach Chaim. So I'm looking at the story. I can answer a question that has come up in the Rishonim. I'm not supposed to teach, but can I make a decision for myself? This is not, I'm not teaching other people, but I am, do I make, my Rebbe is right here. I can ask the question, am I allowed to make the decision for myself? Hypothetical speaking, okay? Is that appropriate? That it sounds here like Aaron made a decision for himself and his children. It sounds like that would be accepted. That obviously is okay. Clearly, Aaron's Rav Muhak was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where he got everything he learned. That's the definition of Rav. But he doesn't want to say generalize that. That's true. I can push this off. This is not the same thing. But this, what Aaron does here, wasn't a hara in the sense that you shouldn't do b'fnei rabo. Meaning what? Fi masha amru b'yuma, because we told them Gemara. And yuma, so then Aaron kal v'chomer. Mi maser akal. Aaron reasoned this out with a from the maser, right? Maser, you know, I couldn't eat it when I was on in Kodesh, Chamor, that's the real carbon, which is even much stronger kind of Kedusha, the culture came. Okay, that's Gemara. We call it Chamor. Came in Shneimer between Moshe, Din, and Maser. Since he had already learned from Moshe the halakha of Maser and the halakha of Kavachomer, Kila Mar Moshe Lishra, that it's just like Moshe had told him, well, this is obviously what you need to do. It's still not quite, it's still deciding, right, that this kavachomer is appropriate. So it's not obvious. But this wasn't really a making a decision for himself, declaring a hora'ah. Because the part of the rule of Maser is this rule of chatat, the kavachomer. So this kavachomer, that's one of the midot that the Torah dresh up ahead. So that's the kind of thing that the Talmud can do. The Kalit who and this is less stringent than an egg and cream sauce. That's an expression. That's an interesting phrase. So this is the way Vicky Shiva summarizes what a bi'ata b'chuchuta. So that's where this idea comes from. Literally, it's a beta b'tavshil chalavi. You come to your rabbi and said, I just cook my eggs in my milk sauce. Is it still kosher? And the answer says, muteret b'achila. Right, because it's clearly okay.
Is it still kosher or is it chalavi? No, it's kosher.
So the way the Gemara describes the question, and this is a given example, right? Biyata b'chuchuta, so that expression, it becomes m'mashesh k'mashal, is an idiom, l'davar pashut muvan me'elav, something that's obvious. You don't go to your rabbi to ask. You know, eggs are part of the milk is fine. So now that the milk, it's a milk egg, but it's not. It's certainly kosher.
Oh, I see.
Okay so it became an example of
those. That's an obvious thing that you don't have to ask your rav.
Right.
And then they're saying up there that this was even more obvious. Kalhu
means. Well, it's not clear that I'm not arguing obvious here, but it wasn't a hara problem. Let's keep looking where the Gemara describes this. Okay, but the way again, summarize. That even though everybody knows that eggs are not bisari, Everybody knows that, so therefore this became the idiom for a halakha that everybody knows. Because the example in the Reuven is that even that, you shouldn't be Moreb of Saint Rabbo. Even the egg question. Are eggs parv? Hi, Davida. Are eggs parv? Can you eat them with milk? Good. So we're asking a question about Moreb of Saint Rabbo. Can you pass me halakha when your Rebbe is there? So this is the Gemara in Reuven that brings this idea of this egg question. Amar le Rav Yaakov, Arav Labai. So Rav Yaakov asked Abai. We're talking about the concept of being Hayaviva, of being Moreh Halacha B'Snei Rabbo. And Kigon Migilat Tanit. The question is, can I, in the presence of, my Rav's here, but can I answer a question about something that's in Migilat Tanit, which is basically a Mishneh, but it's a calendar. It's actually Megillah of not Tanit, the calendar of holidays in the time of the second Beit Midash that you did not say Tachanun, you didn't have it, I didn't fast on. Right? And such a thing is the Ketiva of Mancha. It's written and it's set on the shelf. You ask me, do I say Tachanun today? I can just open the calendar and look at it. Can I say that? Mahalu Aruri Ba'atre Derabe. Can I pass the halakha? Someone asked me the question. Can I do that in the place where my Rebbe is? Do I have to say, no, my Rav is over here, I can't answer my own question, even though it's sitting there in the calendar. I'm running late. The answer is no, you got to be really strict. Chechi Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Afilu biyata bechefuta. Even this question of the egg in the cream sauce. Bo minei mirav kista, koshen enei Rav Huna. If that kind of question came before Rav Kista, as long as Rav Huna, who was his Rebbe, was alive, La'uri, he would not say anything. He would defer to his Rebbe. But much more extreme, much more the orthodox answer. Even a B'yata B'chachuta example, you should still ask your Rebbe that question. That's an orthodox approach, right?
Davida missed the whole introductory discussion we had. It's unbelievable, Danny. You led me into it. You led me into that discussion.
However, this example where Aaron, the Archaim is saying what Aaron did was not this example, right? That was okay. It was calmly, right? Even you're saying, assuming Aaron was so from, he would have asked Moshe, but when it came to this question of the Kal v'Chomer, well, since I know that I can't eat matzah when I'm an onan, I should definitely not eat eating the korban chata when I'm an onan. That was okay. So why is this question of Moreb B'Snei Rabbo so important? You know the story of Parshas Shemini, right? The eighth day, the Chanukah Tabayit of the Mishkan, and they bring all their korbanot, and Nadav and Avihu bring an Eis Hara. We're going to look at that beginning. This all started way back beginning of the Parsha. Ahi Bayom Hashmini, and it was on the eighth day. Moshe called Aaron and Aaron's sons, Kohanim, and all the elders. Yomer Aaron tells Aaron, Kachacha, Egel ben Bakar Chatat, go take a calf for a Chatat offering, Ayalola, Utimimim, and a unblemished ram for an Ola, Makrevus Ne Hashem, and bring them before God. B'nai Yisrael said barely more, Kachusi Rizim L'Chatat, and you, B'nai Yisrael as a whole, need to bring a goat for a Chatat. Egel of Chavis Ben Shanat Mimim La'Allah and more Ola sacrifices for sure of Ayelish Shlamim and an ox and a ram for Shlamim. This book with Hashem to have a barbecue before Hashem because you got to have a kiddush for celebration. You're going to feed everybody. Umin Chabla Bashemen and a meal offering that's mixed with oil. Chayom Hashem Niral Hashem because today Hashem will appear. This is the big opening of the Mishkan. We've lost the sense of the Shekhinah since Har Sinai and the Chet Egel. It's going to come back. They took all these animals that Moshe commanded to the front of the Omoid. And all the people gathered around. And they stood there in front of God. Moshe says, this is what God commanded. Do it. If you do it, the glory of God will appear. Ve'er Moshe Aaron, travel in the Mizbeach. Moshe says to Aaron, come up to the Mizbeach, Vaseir Chatatka Ve'Otecha, and you need to do the ceremony for the Chatat Ni'ola, V'Chaper Barcha V'Av'Am, and you will atone for the people and for yourself. Vaseir Karban Ha'am, and you'll do the ceremony for the carbon of the people, V'Chaper Ba'Adam, and you'll atone for them. Right, that's what the Mishkan is, the atonement for the people. Wipe out the Cheta Ego. Asher Tiv Hashem, as God commanded. By Krav Aaron Mizbeach, Aaron goes to Mizbeach, by Eshchara to Ego, Achatar Shalot, he checks the Ego, and then we go through many Psukim, and it goes through everything that they do, just as Moshe commands. Betachazot Betashok, from last time, the brisket and, this is Purim, I didn't do this one. The brisket and the shank bone, which is the part of the shlamim that is given to the Kohen. Shlamim is basically eaten by everybody. That's the barbecue part. The part that the brisket goes to the Kohen. Shoki Amin and the right shank. Hanif Aaron to Nefalat Ne Hashem. Kasheti Bel Mashiach. Aaron lifted them up. He's doing everything to ceremony right. By Sa Aaron at Yadav El Am and Moshe. And Aaron lifts his hands to the people. This is the Siyat. Kapayim, the Birkat Kohanim, Vayivrachem, and bless the people. Right, we know the Vayivrach Hashem, Yishmeracha, and all of that. Vayir Mesot HaChatat, V'Olah V'Shlamim, and then he went down from doing the Chatat V'Olah V'Shlamim. Vayivol Moshe V'Aaron El Moed, then Moshe and Aaron go into the El Moed, Vayitu, and they go out. Vayirachu Et Ha'am, and they give another bracha to the people. Vayirach V'Aaron Hashem Kol Am, and the glory of God appears to the whole people. And a fire comes out from before God, out of the Kodesh Kodashim. And it burns up all the meat that's sitting there on the altar. The people see it, and they cry out, and they fall on their faces. This is very dramatic. Climax of what they're doing. And then Aaron... I would say it's not then, but simultaneous with this. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, each take a fire pan. By Nubahan, Esh, and they put fire in there, they put some coals in there. By Simulak and Torah, they sprinkle some incense on there. By Akrivu with Hashem, they bring before God Esh Zara, a strange fire, Asher Lo Tziva Otam, that he had not commanded them. By Tete Esh with Hashem, and the fire goes out from before Hashem, by Tokal Otam, and consumes them. By Mutu with Hashem, and they die. That's what happened. What did Nadav and Abihu do wrong? Seems obvious, right? It says that as the article puts it, they brought before Hashem an alien fire that he had not commanded them. In doing things that God doesn't command gets you killed. We know that. That happens over and over in the Torah. But that's not right. So Hashem had commanded them to bring the fire. When it's describing how they bring the olot, it says that new b'nei Aharon haKohen, the sons of Aaron the Kohen, should bring esh al mizbeach. They should bring fire onto the mizbeach, brachu etim al esh, and arrange it. And that's the halacha in general. The new b'nei Aharon haKohen emish al mizbeach, the sons of Aaron. I said these are none of any of you, the sons of Aaron, exactly the same words. They're supposed to bring the fire on them. Afal pisa esh yered meshmain bet. Even though there's a miraculous fire there. There's a mitzvah actually bring your own fire there. So the appropriate metaphor here for Torah being fire that comes from heaven, but you still better bring your own into it there. We've talked about that many times. So there's a mitzvah for the B'nai Aaron to bring the fire. So what is this Eish Zarah Shalot Tziva Otam? You need to understand what happened. There's so much meaning. We just read the words. But after by a crave Aaron Mizbeach, Aaron goes to the altar. He does everything. Then by Sa Aaron et Yadav El Ha'am, Aaron raises his hand. You see a kapayim with a little, with his fingers apart, bless the people. And then by Yered Me'asot HaChatat V'Olah V'Shlamim, and he goes down. What do you mean? He goes down from doing the chatat. Rashi says by Yered Me'al Mizbeach. He goes down from the mizbeach. So he was on the top of the mizbeach, blessing the people. And the Sittei Chacham and Kamadin Rashi is telling you that Me'al Mizbeach, Rashi is pointing out, Lo She'ered Mimakom Nisiyat Kapayim. It wasn't that he went down from the Duchan where he was, there was a separate platform for blessing the people. It was the Mizbeach. He was on top of that. Why do I need to emphasize that Aaron is going down from the Mizbeach? The answer is what doesn't happen. The Emes Dabar. Aaron's on the Mizbeach, he's arranged his meat on there, he blesses the people, and then what? Is the Emek Dabar explained by Yere Mesa. Aaron goes down. Kachanian, this is what happened. Sharon Hela HaKol HaMizbeach. Aaron sets up everything, all the meat for the sacrifice of the Mizbeach, but Dayan Lo B'Ha'esh. And there's no fire. This is a dramatic moment. Bless the people and nothing. Vayu Munachim Siburim Zalzeh, that the sacrifices were all nicely piled up, one on top of the other. When it says by care, who came up with Rashbam, that when it says by care, not that he burned it, but to some of the Mizbeach, b'vor ish, shel ma'ala, and when the fire came, then it was burned up. Aaron's there and expected to burn. But the actual fire that comes down, by Yarakavod, when Hashem Kola'am, doesn't come till Tsukim later. After Aaron's gone down, Moshe and Aaron go into the Mishkan, they come out, they bless the people again, and then by Yaakov Hashem Kol'am, Rashi points out, that was a Tetzei Ish. At that point, the glory of God appears in the fire that comes down, Batocha Mizbeach Etolav Kol Din. That's the point of Vayera. So this is Pesha of Aaron, right? He's on top of there, he's done everything right, bless the people, he's got his hands up, and then nothing. That's not how it's supposed to work. Right? We know Eliyahu on Har Carmel, right? Sets it up and calls God, and God sends the fire down, and everyone says, Hashem Elokim. Or when Shlomo inaugurates the Beit HaMikdash. There, source 17. By Yasev HaMelech et Panav Vayavarach HaKol HaKol Yisrael. Same thing, right? The king turns, blesses the people, Kol HaKol Amen, and all the people are standing. And when Shlomo is done, the fire comes down from heaven, and consumes the Olah and the Zevach that's on the Mizbeach. And the glory of God is revealed in the whole house. The Kohanim couldn't go. That's what appears as soon as he's done. And all the people see the fire coming down. They threw up Payim Arza and they fall on their faces on the spot on the floor. They stachu, Hodot Hashem, Kito, Kil, Pasto, and they all start saying, Hala, Hodot Hashem, Kito, Kil, Pasto. But that's not what happens here. When it finally comes down, then the people of Vayarakal, and Vayarunabay flew up in the hand. They fall down. But it doesn't come down, Aaron blesses them. So Aaron is coming down, by Yerim, Yasod, Chatap Allah, is Aaron's failure. Aaron's expecting the fire to come down, and nothing happens. But Hashem doesn't. So Aaron trudges down the ramp of the Mizbeach with all these unburnt meat on top of that. And then, by Avo Moshe Aaron Ol Moed, Moshe takes Aaron into the Ol Moed and told him, don't comfort him, the Rashbam. Avo Moshe Aaron Ol Moed, his Palel Shetereh Ha'esh. They're going to daven now that the fire should come down.
Oh.
And Rashi has a couple of explanations. What are they going in there for? The second explanation is Keva Shira Aron Shikirba Karvu et Kol Kabanot. Aaron saw that they brought all the Kabanot, the Nasa Kol Masim, and they did everything right below Yerda Shekhinah Israel, and nothing happened. He was miserable. He says, Yodo Ani Shekhasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Alai. This is all my fault.
General.
Right? Yeah. We leave the Yerda Shekhinah Israel. It's because of me that the Shekhinah hasn't come down. Right? I was the one who built the Egel. This is all goes back to the Egel of Zahav. That's all I can think about. And I am a failure and I just ruined everything.
No, we don't have it.
That's Aaron. Amar Lo Moshe. Oh, Amar Lo Moshe. He says Moshe. Moshe, Achi. Moshe, my brother. Kachasita li. Look what you did to me. You brought me here with Yibashti and you've humiliated me. All the people are there watching, and I just had to come down here. So immediately Miyashosha brings, puts his hand around his shoulder, brings him into the Mishkan, and they pray there. that the ish should come down Yardash Shechina Yisrael, and that's when it worked afterwards. And last year we talked about Moshe's response. The tefillah of Tehillah Moshe Yisrael Elokim is basically talking to Aaron about that. Like, okay, Hashem has forgiven you. You forgive yourself. But what's going on while Moshe has brought Aaron into the Mishkan? Moshe's nephews, Aaron's sons, who know the halacha, that B'nai Aaron Kohanim is supposed to bring the Eish, they need to address the problem. And all the people are standing there starting to mutter amongst themselves, waiting for the...
Can you back up for a minute? Moshe tells Aharon that God will give the fire? Or that
what
just...
his words are that Be'era Alechem Kavod Hashem. That's what Moshe says. And we're assuming
Where is that?
Be'era Alechem Kavod Hashem. Right.
Understood that God would give the fire. That was understood.
Right. That was the implication of what's going on here. And that's what happens every other time in Tanakh, whenever you've got this sort of thing, right? That the fire comes down and consumes it. Right? That's the miracle of God, and that connects to Hanukkah and what the miracle there was.
But this is the first time. He can't look at history because this is the first time.
This is the first time. You have been drushing about it happening other times as well with Cain and Hevel and things like that.
But it was understood. Okay. It was understood that we're not supposed to. Okay.
But it's not clear because they didn't know it. So that's exactly what Nadav and Avihu are doing. They are trying to solve the problem, right? There's no fire there. Abba's gone, come down the, and it's just, he's waiting for a miracle to happen. You got to solve the problem, right? That's the way the Rashbam puts it. Aaron and Nadav and Avihu take their fire pans out. Before the fire came out, they had taken the fire because this fire that burned up the altar, the fire that killed them, was the same fire. They were as the guy just partial blood. But Josh Waxman puts it: this was an industrial accident, a workplace accident. They got in the way of the flames that were coming out. Right? Okay, Rashi was saying that Arsko has it wrong. The Esara Shalotiva Otam doesn't mean an alien fire that he had not commanded them with a capital H. An alien fire that he had not commanded with a lowercase H. That Moshe had not commanded it. Okay? Hashem didn't say one way or the other. Moshe hadn't told him to do this. That's it. Asher lo tiva otam Moshe b'emahu. Apa pishe b'shar yamim ketiv netnu b'nei Aaron kohanim eshav mizbeach. That what should have happened, even though normally the kohanim are supposed to bring the fire there as if it's a human thing. Hayom lo tiva. This was not what was commanded for today. Lord, some Moshe sheaviu eshav shall hedyot. They did not want to bring a human fire into this. L'fishayum mitzav tapim yirat ha'esh. Everyone was expecting the fire, Esh Gavoah, the fire from heaven to come down. Lo tov hayom lo viyat zeh. This is not the day to do this. This is a day, the Chanukah Dabai always requires some kind of miracle. We were waiting for a sign from God. This was a big deal. But that's what Rashi says. What they did wrong was they not asking Moshe first. Tetze Esh, lo zeh omer, lo metu b'nei Aaron, ela alidei shehoru halacha b'snei Moshe Rabban. They died because they decided halakha without asking the Rebbe. It wasn't so much a punishment as an industrial accident that if they had asked Moshe, he would have said, you're right, but wait, we got special effects planned for this. Don't get in the way of the fire that's coming out of the Kodesh Kodesh ship. But they didn't ask. They decided. All the myriad explanations of the actual sin of none of you centered around their arrogance. They died because they didn't ask. They assumed they already knew everything. And they assumed they knew what Hashem meant by not knew it. B'nei Aaron Eish HaMizbeach. This is what the problem of... Didn't plan this discussion, okay? But this is what... So the question then is, how do we understand Aaron afterwards? Aaron is specifically making this halakha decision about what to do about the carbon afterwards. And we're saying that's fine. By Yishma Moshe by Tabeinah. Right? Aaron, as opposed to none of you, does the same thing. He says, well, look, I got this carbon here that I don't, you know, I'm looking at the psukim, I don't think I should be eating this. I'm going to burn it. Why doesn't he ask Moshe? Why isn't that more halacha than the same Moshe Rabbo? And this is still, so hopefully that's my note to myself that I'm going to tie this together with an intelligent conclusion. Hopefully it does it. But I think that's the point Rav Kanievsky was making. But David, I started this out by saying that I came across completely coincidentally a sefer of comments of Rav Kanievsky on the Parsha. And I had to use it because this is the right week there. So, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But that Chazal Tzav Moshe is teaching not only the what, the lach of Torah, but the how. How you learn Torah. The midosh haTorah dirash b'hem. They're part of the Torah Shebaktav. Torah Shebaltah, rather. Rav Kanevsky says that other Aaron Savar she'en bazeh shum she'elah, that Aaron felt that there was no question here about what to do. Not that, I don't think that, he said the halakha was obvious, but that still would be more halakha. We talked about the bi'uta, be'kuchuta, the egg question. The halakha is obvious, you should still, you know, respect a rabbi enough to ask the question, not to say something in front of them. That's arrogant. He's saying it wasn't a she'ela, which wasn't hara, it was the rasha. That if the answer is obvious, you just look it up, then I should respect my rabbi to say, why don't you know? Ask the rabbi the question that. But staying in drasha, that's a logical deduction. That's not something you learned from your rabbi. That's something you figured out for yourself. That's using the tools that you learned from your teachers, from your rabban. That's not a problem.
That's what Aaron did.
That's what Aaron did. That Kevin Shneimros Moshe in Masya. That what Moshe had told Aaron, taught Aaron. Well, here's the lachat of Master, and here's the lachat of Kal Vachomer. Then that is Kal who may be at the Chuta. That is less egregious. That is not a problem of Mora Halacha, because everyone has the ability to have some unique insight. And if what you're reasoning here is a question of unique insight, then yes, you have to be able to say it. When Moshe hears Aaron using a Kal Vachomer, that's by Shema Moshe Beita Be'enav. That's what teacher wants from their students is to be, they have them to be, to use that knowledge to develop further and have the original contribution of their students there. And Davani, who's saying, here's what Moshe should have said, that's arrogant. I don't be able to say, here's what Moshe said, here's the reasoning I'm using, and here's why I'm going to do this. That's a mitzvah. That's my itab enough. I'm going to be down the cup scooting with the way Jack is doing it. I think that's a good thing, and that'll keep it from me burning in front of the Mizbeach. So, yes, we all have our original contributions to add to the world of Torah. And it's not a disrespect to our teachers to be able to say that.
That's but you have to do it in a way that your teachers taught you how to do it.
Right? Yes.
You have to use the tools.
And maintain a sense of respect yourself. And I will stop here.
So it's a little, it strikes me as a little extreme to say Nadav and Avihu were killed because, oh, it wasn't a punishment. It was a